Next to Cara Savine, the majority of around 160 people seeking international protection are due to be moved from Skellig Star Accommodation Centre in Cara Savine today. We understand around 2 p.m. Now, some we understand left yesterday and others are also due to leave tomorrow, but the majority are due to leave and to leave their accommodation in Cara Savine today. Will the moves be going ahead? On Tuesday, we heard from one resident, Ellen Otuagoma, who's from Nigeria. Ellen's been living in Cara Savine for almost 3 years now and works in Valencia Community Hospital. She's also due to graduate in healthcare at Kerry ETB Cara Savine later this month. Ellen told us how she's due to move to accommodation in Sligo on Friday. She wants to stay, like many of the residents. She's working, she's contributing, she's made friends, she's part of the community. And there's been major efforts in Cara Savine, both among the residents in Skellig Star and the wider local community, to allow the group stay. We're joined on the line by local Fianna Fáil councillor Norma Moriarty, who you would have heard last Friday when we first raised this story, who has been campaigning, who's been appealing to the Department of Justice to allow around 200 of the people there stay if they want to. Another batch of people are due to leave later next month when the school year is over. Good morning to you, Councillor Norma Moriarty. Thank you so much for joining us on the programme this morning. What is the state of play? What are you having any success with your efforts to allow the residents remain on in Cara Savine?
Thank you. And look, there was some good engagement that was carried out yesterday where we genuinely felt that the reasonableness of our request was being listened to. But, you know, those that make those decisions are still deliberating on the requests that were forwarded. And they were very, as I say, they were not a major request by any means. It was effectively looking for minor extensions of their time in Cara Savine. There is an acceptance and an understanding from everybody, from the community locally, from the residents themselves, from everybody, that, you know, IPASS accommodation is by its very nature temporary. Okay, you're not offering permanent accommodation solutions, nor can it. The system is not designed for that. So we understand that. But it was just the sense around allowing people that have really had, you know, considerable educational development, personal development, emotional development because of the supports afforded them locally in the community, allowing them the opportunity to achieve their accreditation and to give back in terms of the employment that they're willing to give and that they're willing to work for and fill vacancies in our community, just even for a period of time, to allow that, as I said, the community dividend, the community benefit that we as a local community feel, you know, feel that we worked for, quite frankly, and that our efforts were supposed to bring about. So we're still awaiting, if you like, a response to those very specific, very reasonable requests. The clock is ticking. That's the reality of it. Some have already moved. And it is important also to note some people were perfectly happy to move. Okay, and we've always at every turn supported those people. And, you know, a lot of these people would come from major urban centres. Coming to the southwest of Kerry, you know, initially was a culture shock to them in itself. While they all got on fine here, they would feel, you know, many of them, they're younger, looking for the excitement of a bigger place and maybe feel that there might be greater opportunities there. So we've always supported people who wanted to move on. And that's great when they do. Absolutely wonderful. But those that have been doing so well, want to stay and want to contribute, it is such a reasonable request, and we just feel that in itself, you know, the ability to listen to that, the reasonableness of that, sends a very strong signal. And we are just still hoping that communication will come through before those people have to get on the bus today, and indeed a cohort again tomorrow. The rest of that initial 150, almost 160 odd, will be having to leave by tomorrow. So we just really want that sense of, you know, as I said, give and take, to be realised with a positive communication. So, ever the optimist, I will keep hope until such time as 2 o'clock comes. We emailed again this morning, you know, reminding people that that deadline exists there today, and just looking for what is very, very straightforward, because there would be, you know, there is room at the inn effectively, because the people that are going to be coming into the centre are not going to be due in for a period of time either. We understand that would be something that would be done, you know, we would hope on a phase basis as well. So again, there's just that little bit of, dare I say, cop on required here. And I'm not being, you know, derogatory in any shape or form, but it's fair to describe it as such. This is a common sense move, and we implore them to actually take the win for themselves, allow the community to benefit, and please see the sense in this and please see the reasonableness in it.
Now, you're saying there's an acceptance that the people living currently in Skellig Star Accommodation Centre in Carrigsaveen, just because of the temporary nature of accommodation for people seeking international protection, it's not going to be permanent. You said there was something about a minor extension. What sort of timeline would you be hoping? What would be a suitable minor extension for residents?
We're talking about an additional 2.5 weeks for the people wanting to finish out their courses. Okay. And that's such a small ask. And there are people employed in businesses locally, and they've been trained up very, very well by the local employers. Allow them to work the season. We're at the beginning of a tour season. We're hosting the Flack Yol Kiri over 2 weekends in May. They had a very successful music festival in Carrigsaveen, you know, the Roots Festival, the originally called the Mountain Roots Festival. And that was just held last weekend in Carrigsaveen. Carrigsaveen was hopping. Okay. And all of those businesses were very busy, and all of those employers were, contributing and were giving back in terms of their training and working really hard over that weekend, and all contributed to make it a successful weekend. We have there's 2 weekends of the FLA Kiol coming up. These businesses have helped sponsor that FLA. They've been very supportive of it, very positive towards it. Their capacity to actually, benefit from it and indeed provide a service during the course of those 2 weekends is going to be diminished if they don't have their full workforce. So again, we just want the win that's available for everybody with such, as I said, a short request, 2.5 weeks to allow the healthcare assistants to conclude their courses. And we're asking for, and it's a small cohort of people working in that services industry, allow them the opportunity to work out the season.
And the season then, say, around early September or whatever.
Yeah. And again, you're phasing out, they're moving out at that point. In fairness, the residents themselves, they said that they always knew these things are temporary. There is that understanding. We're not trying to move mountains here. It's really small things. Moving the dial a small bit will have such a positive impact in terms of our willingness locally and even our sense locally that we're being listened to. There is that quid pro quo, as I say, and that a bit allow us to enjoy the dividend, and it's the reverse could be very damaging in terms of faith and willingness to engage in and support such decisions in the future.
And now, Norma, where are the residents due to be moved to? We've been hearing Sligo a lot, but are there other places as well?
There are the first people that moved out were moved to Limerick. A considerable number are going to Killarney. Some are going to Dublin. Some are going to Sligo. And a little bit of, work, because some of our people who are, working, hoping to conclude their healthcare assistance courses, some of them are actually in work experience and waiting to fill vacancies in the mid-care area. And if some of those were moved to Killarney, they're perfectly happy and they're contributing to the County of Kerry and the healthcare needs of our citizens. But instead of moving those people to Killarney, they got orders to go to Dublin. So even the little bit of organisation and rejigging around that, again, just it requires a little bit of, engagement. And one of the points we made yesterday was there's excellent services locally there in terms of the Family Resource Centre, the SICAP through the development companies, the Women's Collective, voluntary, associations as well. We're willing to do some of this work if engagement happens in advance of such moves, and that you can do a little bit of work and planning around that at no cost to the state. In fact, you leaning into agencies that the state funds through other elements for this benefit and reap that benefit and say, we're going to have a move coming up here. Ye know the cohort of people down there. What stages are they at? What moves would be least disruptive and would allow for benefit to the local community? It's a serious, a process around that. That you'll never solve every issue. You'll never have everybody 100% happy. We know that. But you could minimise it. And again, come from the lens of how does the local community benefit from the works that have happened here? How can they make sure that people who are contributing remain contributing? Just go from that lens. And you get the benefit. You get the mutual benefit. And as I said, no additional cost to the state, but just forward planning and engagement that would allow for that to happen.
Your critique there, and Councillor Norman Moriarty, would indicate that you would seem to believe that the government policy on accommodating and providing accommodation for people seeking international protection in this country is deeply flawed. Yet your government, yet your party, Fianna Fáil, is part, very much part of the government, and the Minister for Justice, whose department is overseeing all of this, is a Fianna Fáil minister, Jim O'Callaghan.
Correct. And I think it's very important. We do it with our friends, Tressa. If we think something is wrong, we point it out. You know, I'm not a yes person here. I'm not negative for the sake of being negative. I think we have an international protection system in one hand where people and civil servants are tasked with the very specific job of finding accommodation for individuals. And then you have community development and you've integration. Those two need to be joined almost as if there's an umbilical cord between them for the systems to work correctly and in the best interest of everyone involved, the residents themselves and the local communities. To me, it's a small adjustment that's being required. And I don't oversimplify things. But in communities, a lot of good work is already being done. It's a case of leaning to that local knowledge, expertise, if you will. I'm loath to use the term, but it's there. But it's really about knowledge.
Leaning
to that in advance. And you do a better job and you have less disruption and less unnecessary turmoil.
Surely that policy, as again you've pinpointed there and gone through quite forensically, is deeply flawed, because you've been making the point that people who've settled in and are happy and who have made friends in the community and are working and studying and have children in school, they're being moved on, and the government is the Department of Justice, IPAS, is sending in another group of people. They're not closing Skellig Stair. It's as a as an IPAS centre. They're simply sending in another group of people who have to be integrated, who have to come to terms with moving to Carsaveen and all that turmoil and all that unsettledness. That, to me, that would seem like a deeply flawed policy, government policy, when it comes to providing accommodation for people seeking international protection.
And I don't disagree with you, because I think there's two key things there. As I said, when you work in the community, you convince, because change can be difficult and you're asking people to stretch and to meet challenges. But like, we in the community would have said, okay, quite a lot is being asked of us here, but there's potential, you know, significant positives that can come from this. And we see it in all small communities. You know, the groups of new people coming in mean you have additional language support teachers in schools, you have additional SNAs, you know, it bolsters the numbers in small rural schools where they might have been losing teachers. They're positive things. You know, that's where, again, you have that community benefit. As I said, the healthcare assistance, vacancies and home helps, where, like, we saw everybody that I know, every community in Kerry could do with more healthcare assistance to help them, you know, the home help side of things, deliver care for people in their own homes, allowing them independently stay at home. And again, significantly saving the state an awful lot, preventing people from going into residential care too soon. Okay, so there are a myriad of benefits there. Economically, they're also like, and particularly if they're working, they're paying PRSI, USE, and spending their money locally. That's a bolster to the local economy. So it's not just about filling jobs; it's also about being customers locally as well. And you know, they do contribute in every way imaginable.
Yes,
but do that. And even again, like when you're moving a new cohort in, to do it in a way that's phased and managed. I genuinely believe that there just needs to be greater linking and greater, if you like, just engagement between those two parts of the policy. You can't separate one, you can't compartmentalize it and say, you drive on there and just house them, okay? Because that it just creates problems. And this is the key thing. It creates problems for everybody. Those people seeking international protection and the communities into which they're moving. The services that they have to be provided.
Well, thank you for joining us, Norman Moriarty, Fianna Fáil Councillor Norman Moriarty, about the latest situation, efforts there to to delay the moving of some 160 people seeking international protection from their accommodation from Skellig Star in Cathair Sibhín. I know as soon as we get any news on this, if those efforts are successful, we'll let you know on Radio Kerry. Stay listening, and thanks to Norma Moriarty and everyone else in Cathair Sibhín who've been engaging with us on this story.